Kaya Talk on Kaya 959, on the street, on the air.
It is 2 minutes after seven. You are listening to Kaya 959 and you are listening to Talk with myself, Sotumbeya. And it is a very good evening to you. You were just listening to Kaya Biz with Google It and Mfupi, who's just left the studio. Very interesting conversations that she was having today, particularly talking about the government grant that could be introduced for, you know, youth between the ages of 19 and I think 35, if I'm not mistaken. But if you missed that conversation and you just want to learn more, because we're living in a country where there is a lot of people that do need just a little bit of a helping hand, simply go to kaya959.co.za. Do catch a podcast of that show and all the other shows that we have right here on Kaya 959.
Kaya
959.
On the stream, on the air.
You are listening to Talk with myself, Sotumbeya. As I said earlier on, it is Thursday, which is normally like a Friday for us here. We treat it as a Friday because, you know, the week ends on Thursdays for us. And this is when we normally talk sexuality. And if you feel like, you know, you don't want your kids to be listening, you don't want them to be within earshot, this is now your opportunity to probably get your kids away. So today, more importantly, we're talking about adolescence and sexuality. We're talking about whether or not, as a parent, are you ready for your adolescent discovering their sexuality? Because eventually they do. You know, unfortunately, sometimes as parents, we like to think that, you know, that our kids are going to remain young and innocent forever. But if you think about you and you think about your experience, think about when your first sexual experience was, then I suppose, you know, it brings you in touch with reality. So that's what we're talking about this evening. And we're also talking about whether or not you have prepared your kids for that eventuality. Have you been talking to them? Do you know how to prepare your kids? Because sometimes it's not a matter of that you don't want to talk to your kids and you don't want to prepare them. Sometimes it's just a matter of, as parents, you don't know where to start. You don't know how to bridge the gap between you and your child. You don't know how to broach the conversation. And that's what we're talking about this evening. As usual, if you would like to take part in the conversation, if you'd like to ask any questions, if maybe you've got an experience that you would like to share with us, if maybe you want to share with us how you have spoken to your teenagers about sexuality, or you are looking for a way to chat to your teenagers, the number to dial this evening is 086-00-00959. That is 086-00-00959. So this evening we're going to be joined by Leanne Stain, who is a therapist on sexuality. And we're also going to be joined by Queen Baliso, who is a healthy lifestyle coordinator at Love Life. So they're just going to be guiding us through the conversation and just talking to us, you know, just giving us some guidance. Especially if you're looking for, you know, like a listening ear, you're looking for somebody that probably knows a little bit more than you, how to start talking to your kids about sexuality. They are going to be helping us with that. So now let's start with Leanne and say, good evening, Leanne. Thank you very much for joining us and a very good evening to you.
Good evening to you too.
Good evening, yes, and thank you so much for joining us. Let's start first with the first question for you. How early is it for you to actually start talking sexuality with your kids, especially when you are preparing your kids for that eventuality?
You know, they say it's never too early, so you start having conversations as soon as they are of understanding. But it's all within age-appropriate information that you're giving to children. You are teaching them from the beginning what body parts and giving it the correct name.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, you're going to start explaining relationships between boys and girls, or the feelings that you get. And then as you go along, you're going to then, of course, explain more details.
Mm-hmm. And then let's also say hi to Queen and Queen Baliso, who of course joins us from Healthy Life, who's a healthy lifestyle coordinator at Love Life, and she also joins us on the line. Queen, thank you so much for joining us, and a very good evening to you. Yes, thank you so much for joining us. So Queen, I'm also going to pose the same question to you, because many times I think parents, we leave it for so long and, you know, for so late into our children's lives where they're now, they're teenagers, and, you know, we don't talk about sexuality in the home. It's almost something that doesn't exist. We don't talk about it at all. And now you get to a point where you now have a 13, 14 year old or 16 year old and they start dating. Do you start the conversation? You know, how do you even start? If you have left it for that long, how do you even start having that conversation with your teenager?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, when you start talking to young people at the age of 16, you are very late, like very, very late. These young people, we buy them expensive phones that have internet, and they Google all these things, and they know a lot of things that their parents don't know. So
here's what I always say to young people when I go to teachers, when I go to schools. I always say, and when I talk to parents and yes, at Winston Dialogue, I always say to them, we normally say media do this, media do that. When you're watching TV, for example, there was a show, a drama on TV, Intersections.
Yeah.
Intersections was helping parents and young people to stop, to break the ice, because it was talking about multiple concurrent partners. So shows like that, parents would say, it's promoting sex. No, yeah. It's educating you in sex. It's your time to start. It's breaking the ice for you. It's a platform for you to start talking. Now parents want young, when they're sitting with a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, when people are sitting, they must close their eyes. Until when?
Mm.
Until when? The problem, the bigger problem here is that we also sugarcoating things. We sugarcoating things to wrong people. They know a lot than we know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fact.
And we always assume that our kids are babies.
Yes, we need to talk to them as early as 12 years. Remember, a 12-year-old is in a primary school. They are about to be introduced to high school, where things are happening. So you can't wait for them to go to grade 9. You are very late. You can't wait for them to go to grade 8. You are very late. You should prepare them for high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because when they get to high school, there's a lot of things happening.
And there's a lot of conversations, yeah. So, but Queen, how do you start? So if somebody's listening now, and especially, you know, because I think a lot of parents are very fearful, and as well, a lot of parents come from backgrounds where they themselves, you didn't talk about sex with your parents. When you were watching The Bold and the Beautiful and Days of Our Lives, if they start kissing, you know, you were told to close your eyes or to leave the room. So we come from those backgrounds, right? For a lot of people, they come from that background where sexuality is just something that you don't talk about. You don't discuss it. It does not exist. In some families, it's so much that, you know, you cover your bodies. Everybody does not see anybody naked in the house. Because, you know, it is that taboo. So if you are a parent and you come from that school of thought, right? And you come from, you were raised in that background. Now you have a child that's a preteen. You've got somebody that's 10 years old, 11 years old, and you are listening to this conversation and you are thinking, soon my child is going to be a teenager. I have not started having that conversation with my child, but at the same time, I still find it very taboo. Like, where do you even start? And I know that we don't have room or time to be feeling embarrassed and thinking things are taboo. You don't have that luxury of time. But how does one even start to even bring that subject up?
Yes. So I'll make an example with a young person, a girl. When your little girl starts menstruating, it's the first time. Then you know that if a young girl starts menstruating, then they're going to be pregnant if they're having sex without protection. That's your time to start the education. To say, look, you're getting menstruation. Menstruation is this. That means you're going to menstruate every month. It's your time to educate. And that way, it helps you to go past menstruation. Then you talk about sex. That it means now, because you're menstruating, if you sleep with a man without protection, you're going to have sex. You're going to have a baby, sorry. You're going to be pregnant and have a baby, and you're still young. That's the time you need to educate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time you need to educate. Now, our parents, when the ones that we are talking about, the old school ones, when they see their little girls getting menstruation, they get traumatized. As if they never menstruated, they were never 13.
Because menstruation is another big thing that I think that children need to be educated about, and more especially boys. You know, I feel like boys need to be educated about menstruation. Why is it that boys do not understand what menstruation is? Why is it so taboo? You know, I once saw a post on social media where somebody was saying that, you know, we shouldn't talk about sanitary towels because you're talking about things that happen in the bathroom and that should not be brought in front of everybody. And somebody gave a very good response saying that, I mean, we talk about toilet paper. Do you get the heebie-jeebies when you see a toilet paper? So I think that that's another education that we do our children a disservice because we don't actually teach them about menstruation.
And I think the other thing besides that, normally parents, they don't talk with their kids. They talk at them. And talking at them is shouting. They're not going to hear you. You need to talk with them, not at them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give young people information. What they do with it is up to them. rather not giving them. It's better you say, you know what, I did my job.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to make it. So let's give young people information. What they do with it, it's up to them.
It's all up to them. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 12 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya 959. And this evening, we're talking sexuality. And we're talking about teenagers and sexuality, adolescents. We're talking about whether or not have you prepared your teenagers. Are you in the process of preparing your teenagers? Are you still very shy around talking about sexuality when it comes to your teenagers? Do you feel as if they are prepared? If you would like to be part of the conversation, if you'd like to ask any questions, maybe you're looking for advice as well. The number to dial this evening is 086-000-0959. That is 086-000-0959. You can tweet us at Kaya on air. You can WhatsApp us on 0636-880-959, or you can SMS us 36959. Remember, you can tweet me personally as well. My Twitter handle is at Sututu if you'd like to DM me or you'd like to remain anonymous. And today we are joined by two guests. You were just listening to Queen Baliso, who is a healthy lifestyle coordinator at Love Life. And we're also joined by Leanne Stain, who's a therapist on sexuality. Now, Leanne, earlier on, you know, Queen touched a little bit about talking about, you know, teenagers and having sex. In your work, what would you say is the average age where you see teenagers start experimenting with sex and, in other words, having sexual intercourse?
You know, that is actually quite shocking because it's getting a lot younger and younger as time goes on. And I think it's just because kids are being exposed to it a lot sooner. I've heard of 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, already engaging in sexual intercourse. And they were quite blown away at that. And then there was another case I heard of that was even more scary. It's where I heard about 7-year-olds having orgies at the back of a school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually scary to me. And where are they getting the information? Are they starting to understand what it's about? Or is it supposed to be, you know, parents are even bringing up the topic. What I always say, though, is parents, you know, you worry to bring up the topic, but they are getting the information.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not coming from you, you don't know where that information is coming from.
And you don't know what they're hearing.
Yeah, and you don't know what they're hearing.
Yeah, they're hearing coke and Disprin and all sorts of things.
Yeah, and that is scary, and that is all starting earlier. And, you know, there's this idea that the more information kids have, then they're going to start experimenting.
Mm.
And research has showed that the more information children get, the better decisions that they make, and they actually abstain from sex until later ages. So I think if we start giving good, solid facts to our children about what is safe, and not just the physical act, but explain to them the mental and the emotional side to it,
mm-hmm.
we are going to definitely have children making better decisions and teenagers making better decisions about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just joining us 15 minutes after 7, we're talking about adolescence and sexuality. We're talking about teenagers, and we are taking your calls on 086-000-0959. We've got Balisa giving us a call. Balisa, very good evening to you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question for Dave, sir. I have a teacher, she's 14, she's in grade 8. So the problem is that all her friends are on contraceptive, on that the injection, special month injection. So she started the topic, talking about it, and then she asked me, she's like, Mommy, how do you feel about it? And I think they're doing it, and I think I should all get it. But I'm like, why? Are you sexually active? She says, no, I'm not. But just in case. You know, that's when now I started talking about, maybe condoms are a better option because they're much safer, you know. But at the same time, you know, I feel like, hang on, I don't know if you give her that permission or you take her to the clinic, I don't know one more room to go and start being sexually active.
Okay.
So I don't know, maybe if I can just get is it a good option? Is it a good thing for look like someone?
Okay, let's hear from both ladies. Let's start with you, Queen, unless you've got something to ask Balisa. How does she deal with this? What's the best way to deal with this?
So you know, it's not the first time I hear this. So we were training methods in the past weeks and the past months. Since last year, November, is it? So, they were saying what they see right now is that parents, when they see a young person starting to be forward and bubbly and all that, all of a sudden they take the child to the clinic and force the nurses to put injection on the child. Mm. You can't do that. It means you can see there's a gap between a child and the parents. They ain't focused. That child is even scared to say, Mama, why are you taking me to the clinic to put injection on me when I'm not even sexual active? That's because of that child is bubbly and all that. You cannot do that to the child. Sit down with your child, ask those questions. And if a Palisa is saying, her daughter is saying that friends are on contraceptives.
Yeah, so the daughter's saying that all her friends are on it.
Yeah, it means the sexual ethics. They took a decision that we need to protect ourselves from teenage pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we encourage young people who are sexual ethics to use dual protection.
Which is condoms.
They even forget to go to the clinic. They need to use a condom because with a condom, you're protecting HIV, you're protecting teenage pregnancy, you're protecting STIs. We have STIs that are not curable.
Mm-hmm.
So when we use contraceptives only, then what about STIs? What about HIV? So, Tanisa, you need to sit down with your child because at least she broke the ice. She gave you a platform. She told you about her friend. It's your time to start talking with her.
Okay, Palisa, are you happy with that? That maybe your approach is actually the correct approach? Because you said to begin with that you actually preferred that she uses condoms and not go on contraceptives, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you. Thank you very much for joining us, Palisa, and thank you so much for giving us a call. So, Leanne, let's go back to you. You know, you were talking about earlier on about how early it is that children are starting to be sexually active. And now when you hear of kids as young as in grade 8, you know, having contraceptives and, you know, kids are on contraceptives. You know, I remember when I was a lot younger and we had sex education, contraceptives were never even something that was mentioned. It was always use a condom, use a condom. That was something that always drummed into our heads. So in my mind, I never thought that actually, you know, kids that young should be using contraceptives. But have you seen this a lot, like as a trend where kids are actually coming in and they're getting the injection or they're getting IUDs as well?
Well, I've mainly only from those that are about 18 when I've been dealing with them, that they've now started with the contraceptives and etc. I haven't had any cases where they've been the younger kids that have actually been going on to the contraceptives. But they all do know about the condoms, and they know who you would suggest them, although I think it is often done, one person goes and gets them, and then it's sort of spreads it amongst them. You know, one that is braver, that would go to the clinic and get it, and then just spread it amongst all the friends.
Well, we're going to take a short break now. If you're just joining us, it is 20 minutes after 7. You're listening to Kaya 959. It is Thursday, so we are talking sexuality. We're talking about issues of sexuality. And today we're talking about teenagers and sexuality. More importantly, we're talking about adolescents. We're talking about when to start having that conversation. We're talking about how to protect our kids from STIs, from teenage pregnancies, unwanted pregnancies. And most importantly, to start sharing that information with our kids, because it can be very daunting, you know, starting the conversation and when to start the conversation. And I like the fact that, you know, both our experts have been saying that you need to start the conversation a lot sooner, because the sooner you start the conversation, the better it is, because you just get to a point where you're so used to talking to your child that it's not as daunting now when you have to talk about sex. So we're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we still continue with the conversation talking about teenagers and sexuality.
Kaya Talk, Monday to Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m.
It is 24 minutes after 7. You are listening to Kaya 959 and you're listening to Talk with myself, Sotomayor. As usual, we are together until 8 o'clock. And today we're talking about sexuality and we're talking about teenagers and sexuality. I'm also throwing in a bit of dating as well. You know, teenagers dating, and that can be very daunting, because I think for many of us, when we start thinking about teenagers dating, we start thinking, are they going to get sexual? Is there going to be kissing? Is there going to be touching? Those are some of the things that we're talking about this evening. And of course, we are joined by Leanne Steyn, who is a therapist on sexuality. sexuality. And we also are joined by Queen Baliso, who is a healthy lifestyle coordinator at Love Life. As usual, we appreciate your calls. If you'd like to add something to the conversation, if you'd like to ask some questions, if you're looking for advice as well. Like earlier on, we had a caller, Baliso, who was looking for, you know, just a bit of advice on how to start talking sexuality with her daughter. More importantly, talking about contraceptives. The number to dial this evening is 086-000-959. That's 086-000-959. Remember, you can SMS us 36959. You can WhatsApp us on 0636-880-959. And of course, we are on Twitter at Kaya On Air. You can tweet me personally as well. My Twitter handle is at Soto2 if you would like to DM me as well. Now, Leanne, let's talk a bit about dating as well, which is another thing that can be very daunting for parents, because that's where it usually starts, where your child starts dating and now, you know, literally hell breaks loose. You don't want your kids to date. What is the perfect age for kids to start dating? When
is
should it be?
Perfect age for them?
There's no perfect age. Like 55.
Yeah, exactly. We tell the girls, when you're by 35, 40, maybe you can start dating. I think that is one of our parents' biggest nightmares is the dating. And I think we're so protective of our kids. And, you know, you kind of, and also they're not so little anymore and they get into the big world and, you know, you want to protect them from certain things and you don't know if everybody that they're going to come across is going to always have the good intentions or the same values of what you have and you've brought them up with. And it is, there's such huge peer pressure with regard to dating. And if you listen to the teenagers talking, it's about this one sleeping with this one and this one doing this one with this one. And you sort of wonder now, are they going to be pressured into doing more than just holding hands and kissing? Is there going to be pressure into, okay, now I need to sleep with a guy? Does that mean if I sleep with him, he will stay with me? And, you know, there's that whole emotional side of it as well, because once they do actually take that step and say, you know, I'm going to speak with this guy, they have this emotional connection and mental connection with the guy that it creates, I don't think they're ready for that kind of responsibility of at that age.
Mm-hmm. So when we look at kids, so if a 14-year-old comes in and has a boyfriend or wants to have a boyfriend or has a girlfriend or wants to have a girlfriend, what should they...
Well, I guess if they still at the... I think you look at the maturity. I think you got to look at each child at, you know, where they are. But, I mean, if it's pretty much I've got a boyfriend and then a girlfriend and pretty much it is just holding hands and we go to the movie and mom and dad are there, you know, chaperoning the date, you know, that might be different. But I think the real problem, I think when you start having the teenagers going out, 15, 16-year-olds, I think, and there's, no control? Or I'm going to go to this one's house, and then you sort of wonder, is there parents at that house?
Yeah.
Is there, you know the responsibility? What are you going to leave in the teenager's hands, or are you going to still enforce that there should be a responsibility within an adult's hands at that stage?
Mm-hmm. And as well, if you think back to your youth, but if I think back to when I was a lot younger, I mean, by the time I was 15, 16, I had a boyfriend, right? But then as you grow older and you get into your late teens, you know, and your parents assume that you're still a child and, you know, you're not discussing anything with your parents. But if you think about it that way and you think about your child as a normal person, just like you, chances are if they are at that age, you know, they're probably doing the same things that you were. So if a child is saying that they want a boyfriend, should you be strict and say that no boyfriends in this house? Oh, no girlfriends in this house.
When I was growing up, so I could say, yeah, that's fine. I don't have to worry then. But I do think things have changed a lot. And, you know, if I talk to people that are sort of my age and, you know, when we were growing up, there was peer pressure, but I don't think we can understand the peer pressure that the kids have got today. And if you look at the role models and what they are being forced with on a daily basis, the TikToks, the media that they have been bombarded with, it's been shown as okay, and this is what's normal, and this is what you do. When I was growing up as a kid, that was, you know, a teenager, that was still quite a taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you might go and kiss behind the, find a dark corner and go kiss the boy there, but it wasn't necessary that pressure of we've got to have sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, there were people within the grade that were doing that, but you know, to me, it just felt like that pressure wasn't there as much as when I talk to the teenagers today. It is, they feel like it is just, that's what it is. That's what you do. You know, if you're not having sex, so what's wrong with you?
Mm.
You know, the peer pressure isn't the same as what we had, you know, years back. I think it's just changing.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're just joining us, it is 7:30. You're listening to Kaya 959, and you're listening to Leanne Stain, and she is the guest that joins us this evening. She is a therapist on sexuality, and also joining us on the other line, we also have Queen Baliso, who is a healthy lifestyle coordinator at Love Life. And this evening, we're talking about teenagers and sexuality, and we're talking about, you know, just being able to accept that, you know, our kids grow up and they become teenagers and they start experimenting with sex and sexuality, but more importantly, how to start preparing your kids, you know, how to make sure that your kids are safe, that if they are going to be engaging in any sort of sexual activity, that they are going to be protected from STIs, from teenage pregnancies and all the other you know, all other things that you don't want your kids exposed to. That's the conversation that we're having today. And Queen, I'm going to pose the same question for you. Kids and dating. When do you just let go and just accept that your kid is starting to date? I mean, when you think about it, you know, matric dancers come and they have a date, and it's sometimes it's most likely their girlfriend or their boyfriend. You know, it's, when is the right time?
I think, to be honest, we can't put the time. You can see the timeline, you can see the age. Young people make choices as they grow. We don't. Why do we have to give time for them and age?
Mm.
Because if we do that, the truth is that you tell your child that you get into the house at 7, you don't date, you date at 17, they will make their choice because you're not around with them. Even if you can go with them to the movies, they are with their friends, so-called friends, females, male friends. You chat around them, I'm not sure until when. Because for me, that's a hell of a job. Just your child, sit down with your child, give your child information. Because the truth is that there's no book to life. A young person needs to go through the journey of life.
Mm.
Like we went through the journey of life. We fell, we stood up, shook out the dust, walked, made U-turns, came back, things happened, and here we are.
Mm.
So, let's give them time. Let them learn. Young people always say our parents don't trust us. We don't trust them because we don't say the right information to them.
Yeah. And also we don't equip them. That's why we don't trust them.
Halfway. Yes. We don't equip them. We go halfway. And then when we see, we feel like they're doing something wrong, then we start shouting.
Mm-hmm.
Let them go through the journey of life. Like we went through the journey of life. But the most important thing, let's equip them. Let's give them information.
Mm-hmm.
Our young people, I think the worst part about our young people, the worst side, is the main one. Our boys don't have role models.
Mm.
So we have a single parent who are females who are raising boys. Mm. You're not even sure that you're saying the right thing or what.
Mm-hmm.
Others, their fathers are there. But they're not there physically. They're just there.
Mm-hmm.
So they also don't have role models. That's why I'll make a quick example. I don't know if you remember if it's last year or before COVID, there was a young man in Limpopo who impregnated 4 or 5 girls in
one.
Why? It tells you that no one explains to that boy that when you sleep with a girl and she gets pregnant, it means your blood is hot. You know, my grandmother used to say, when you sleep with a boy, with a female and she gets pregnant, you can't sleep with other females without protection, or if they're not on contraceptive, they will get pregnant, all of them, because your blood as a male is hot. No one told that boy that. Instead, social media, some of the young people are saying, hey, get off, you're okay, kick it up at you. It's wrong. Instead of us equipping that boy, some were praising him.
Mm-hmm.
When he's pregnant, four girls, He's unemployed there, unemployed, they're still in school. It's just a mess.
And we forget about STIs.
Yes, and the other thing is that when you call them, because as Love Life, we have a program, we call it voluntary dialogue. Voluntary dialogue is trying to bridge the communication gap between parents and youth. We call parents and youth to come talk about sex and sexuality and other things besides that. You find 18 females, one male in that voluntary dialogue. You call the parents, but there's one male and 18 females. We can't solve the problem. Parents need to come to the party. They lead their parents to organizations. I can't raise your child. I see your child 5%. You see your child 25%. Nena, come to me. We help you. We help each other. And South Africa becomes better. Because these young people are our future. So we need to work together. Parents and organizations. Not organizations only.
Okay.
That's what we're fighting for now. We're struggling with that. With parents coming to us. So that we equip them too. Because we can't equip the young people without parents.
Yeah.
We can't equip a girl without equipping a boy.
Mm-hmm.
Because a boy makes a girl parent a pregnant. And the other thing that we as parents, I need not to forget this, we need to equip the girls. When we were going to school, you will find you meet a boy in a class and he's classy, he gets a lot of lunch money. When now you're struggling at home, then you thank him. And he says to you, you're in school. He says to you, let's take our relationship to the next level. You get to say no. You're looking at him like, yo, if I say no, he's going to go to someone else. Let me give him. You're giving me or you're not giving. He's going to take it. He's going to leave you. You are 16. He has nothing to commit to you. So don't give him. Because you're giving, you don't give him. He's going to leave. He's still exploring. He's 16 years old. One person end up together and they say, my high school teacher, 1% out of 100.
Well, let's take more of your calls on 086-000-0959. We've got Anonymous giving us a call. Anonymous, very good evening and thank you for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Good, man. This is a tough topic, but I'm going to go to Nkulume, you know? When people babona izinto, they become those things. Because neurologically, when you look at something, it gets registered in your mind neurologically. And that neurological network, it fires electricity to your body. Chemically, you're going to change now your DNA. Ube, hilento leyo. So now, what I'm trying to say is that abo mama babantwana, si oyinganeni babo, babone izinto. And it came abazibona lezinto lezi. Manje sezi-affect abantwana babo izinto abazibonile. Understand.
I don't think, I'm not sure if I understand Anonymous. Okay, babone isn't, what do you mean? Like, babone isn't abo mama kuphi?
Yes, I'm saying kuthi, si manje sibusitela abantwana bethu, they are behaving ngendlela efanele understand when it comes to things as far as sexually active and being so active at a young age. You understand?
Yeah.
So that feeling, the mama, we into azibona, is going to be passed to umntwana. You understand? Feeling wise, so the feeling, what we see and what we feel changes our DNA. So now, labantwana ba change kanje benze izinto ezingenzi because of the feeling they are getting from mommy or daddy into azibonile. So now it changes their DNA to behave exactly.
Are you saying that the way that we behave in front of our kids, is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Ah. That's what I'm saying. Because angithi, if when a book on isn't those bonile as exusufung and pilenyako, and then not exusufung is going to behave lunch. So now, if Nomdanaka will behave the same way, it means we go to probably that school or in a pekaya. So the thing is, we need to understand what we see is what we are. Because once you see something and you feel, it changes your DNA. You understand? So what's happening around manje, it's our DNA changing to what's happening right now. Ulumhlaba wamanje we4IR, kulezinto ezihamba fast. You ask yourself why abantu bashona at an early age kanje, why people are experiencing zonke lento abaz experience at the disease around. It's because of how we are vibrating, of the things that we saw. If we want something, that thing is going to change your DNA, your biology, who you are. This thing needs, it's a study emele yenziwe ukuthi abantu ba understand ukuthi how does your biology work, how then do you attract nento esikhona manje empilweni yakho, because it's not nothing, it's not the religion or culture whatever sort of khuluma ngalento leso, but then it's our biology esithathe yasibeka la sikhona manje. Even our kids, we still want to behave amazing things esingakaze sazibona, because of which the biology now is changing to something else. Abanye abantu they would say it's generational curse, but it's not. Even this is born out. If we can eliminate even this born out one day to end, singene kakhulu, we content by bugelayo, the information by tolayo around. So, into mele singene kuyo kakhulu leyo, yabona. So that's why I don't want people to know who I am, but I think funa ukuyisho, we need to heal our biology. Parents need to heal what they saw so that the children will start be behaving better. Because then it's either we are babonisa or you come with the feeling that you are, that you need to heal. If you heal that feeling, and then umntwana ngeke asayithola that feeling, because we are nothing but a feeling. If we are nothing but a feeling, it means which we need to be careful with my feelings. I mean the environment, because now the environment is nothing, just feelings. Yeah. So if feelings can change who we are, and then we need to really, really look at abantwana mawelo basibhekile ukuthi are we really sensitive kanjani isiZulu ukuthi ngikhulume isiZulu mina. So ilokhu njana lento esiyenzayo izoyenza abantwana bethu ukuthi babehave kanjani. DNA, we need to get it from the biology, neurological network, limbic brain, where our nervous system brain would span again, so that it charges the body chemically, and then it goes to the biology. Okay. So we understand that process. And then abantwana bethu bazoba save, nathi zohila from the life esingayithola, from lento esingayithola ukuthi kwenzakala, that our bodies are going to heal. All because right. What we need to heal is to heal our bodies. So sorry,
ungena kakhulu. No, it's fine. But thank you very much for your contribution, Anonymous. Thank you for calling us. Thank you. Thanks. So we're still taking more of your calls on 086-000-959, talking about sexuality and teenagers, adolescents. We've got Mubulawa giving us a call. Thank you so much for joining us. And good evening. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you. The previous caller just confused me a bit.
Hey, okay. Me too.
So I have a teenager who's turning 19 this year. 2 years ago, he came to me, I think it was during grade 10, and he said to me, I have a girlfriend. I said to him, so what do you mean you have a girlfriend? What is a girlfriend to you?
Mm.
And he said to me, Mom, hold on. I know what I'm talking about. I am not ready, and we are not ready yet. This was 2 years ago. So 3 months ago, he comes back to me and he says, Mom, I'm done with school. They are both in varsity. He says to me, we've spoken about it, and we both think we are ready for it.
And so they're still together?
They're still together. They haven't done it. Now, they've sat and decided that they are finally ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I would be ready for this conversation. So too, I wasn't. So I'm like trying to find out, when you say you're ready,
what does that mean? When is it going to happen? On Thursday, at 10 o'clock?
Exactly. Like what? I mean, he sat me down and he said to me, I promise you I will come to you when I'm ready. I'm telling you that I am ready. We have spoken about contraception. We have spoken about using protection. So we haven't decided on what contraception we're going to use yet. It's either she's going to go on a pill or an injection. But what I'm trying to tell you is that we are ready.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about that was, because we grew up in an era where our parents never allowed us to talk about things like this, and sex was taboo.
Mm.
I pecked myself on the back for the fact that, you
that
know,
your child can, yeah.
Saying, no. Yes, people are saying, no, he's probably lying to you. They've done it already. I'm like, I really don't care. The mere fact that he's come to me and said, the two of us have now decided that we are ready. For me, it says, I've done my job as a parent. He is a couple of months to 19, and I've made him understand how serious sex is. I said, are you ready for the commitment? Are you mentally ready? Are you physically ready?
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, look, we haven't set a date yet, but I'm just telling you that we are thinking about it.
And
so what advice do I give to those soon-to-be 19-year-old?
Oh, soon-to-be sexually active 19-year-old.
Soon-to-be sexually active. Guys, So what advice do I give to this kid?
Okay, let's hear from our two experts. Maybe they can, you know, I mean, the fact that, you know, he came to you, I think that's absolutely amazing. That your child can come to you and say, I am ready and I am going to do this, because that already talks to the sort of relationship.
We've always kept that channel of communication open, because I wanted me to be his sounding board. Because I said to him, you know, there's nothing taboo about it. And if I don't give him the information, he's going to want to experiment and he's going to want to do what his friends are doing.
Well, Mubulawa, I'm going to let you go. And then when we come back, I'm going to take a short break. And then I'm going to ask the two experts just to give you advice. You know, what do you say to him now? He's come to you. He's been clean with you. He's been honest. I think that's amazing. So now you need to go back and be able to, you know, endorse his readiness, I suppose.
We're not ready for this.
Exactly. We're going to take a short break. Thank you so much for calling us, Mubulawa.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye. I'm going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to carry on with the conversation talking about teenagers and sexuality.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It is almost 10 minutes to 8 o'clock, still talking about teenagers and sexuality. Some very important calls that we've been getting. We're going to try to answer a few of your questions with our experts. But in the meantime, let's take one more call and then go back to talking about, you know, teenagers and sexuality. And more importantly, the question that Mubulawa asked, you know, what does she now tell her 19-year-old who's basically said explicitly that he is ready to be sexually active? Mokhadi, you're giving us a call in Tembisa. Good evening and thank you for joining us.
Good evening. How are you?
Good, thanks, Angie. Mohadi?
I'm good, thank you. I was actually touched by the topic. I know you're talking about teenagers and all of that. I've got a 9-year-old daughter who recently had to move from a multiracial school because I lost my job to a public school. And what I've realized is that from where she is right now, I had to have that talk of sexuality with her from an early age, because she experienced abantwana from grade 3 who were touching her private parts.
And she had
to say, Mommy, look, this is what's happening to me. And even when I tell my teacher, like, she's like, no, it's fine. It's okay, you know. But because I understand what it had done to me, Mkula, to a point whereby I felt certain when I was in matric and I didn't even know what was happening. You know, as I was standing and then it happened and I felt pregnant and I was like, hey, so this is as easy as it can be. And I've managed to actually get myself out of that and learn some other stuff. But the way that my mother had taken that situation, she found out when I was 8 months pregnant in matric, and the same day that I was there to talk to my mom and say, hey, mom, this is what's going on with me, and that was after I had tried to find other solutions, information, because I was scared to talk to my parents about it. And even though I tried to put it forward, the reaction I got for them is that, which had actually led to losing my child before Athena 1, when after I graduated matric, you know? So I think it's very, very important to us as parents, especially from the township, Elokshini, to have this conversation with our kids to say, you know what, even though you get pressured, imagine my 9-year-old, I experience other things as I experience I, and when I go to the principal,
that is abuse. I mean, nobody has to have, nobody can touch your body without your consent. Do you know what I mean? And the fact that the school just says that, no, it's fine, that for me is a big problem.
Okay. Yeah. So to me, to go to a department of education to lay a complaint like that, I know it's going to take a lot for me as a parent, you know? So I'm like, you know what? I'd rather talk to my child and explain to her, what are the consequences at the age of 9, by the way, to say, these are the consequences that you're going to go through if you get involved to such extent. To a point whereby saying, Monumtana, I'm a Fridays because they do casual days, it's not fucking short in line. Oh, mommy, you know, they say I look nice, but I'm like, no, it's not about that. What do you say? yes, he's saying this boy and this boy. And the reaction that I got, Mina, from a principal was that, oh, this guy, Otubambu Mtanako, he's so clever in class.
So
what does that have to do?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. Let's have their parents in. Let's have us in. Let's talk about it and see how we can help that boy child. Because obviously it's stuff that he's seen and agaboni anything wrong
with it.
But as a school, if you're still going to say, oh, there's nothing wrong about it, then it means, Tina, that we cannot afford to take our kids to a multiracial school, then vaso safara. You're going to still experience I'm a teenage pregnancies because our kids don't understand
the education. They're not. But thank you.
So I'm just hoping that if people could just reach out, even if education may reach out and just give these talks and give this education to our kids. Because now I know that I was a teenager at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
I do mentorship in my townships where I mentor abantwana abana 12 years old that are HIV positive and already are pregnant, you know. And it's a challenge. It's a really, really, really challenge. If Tina is a mother and Tina community started that step and say, you know what, this is what's going to happen if this happens, then I mean, the same way that my parents treated me.
Exactly.
I mean, I believe that I had so much knowledge at that time, but I was failed by them. But because I'm this strong character, or I've got that strong character, I was able to overcome my parents saying, oh, you are pregnant. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to push and I'm going to get my matric, which I did. I got my matric, even though my child passed on before in the 1 year, which also hit me so bad, you know. So those are the other things we need to think about as parents. How do we support our kids? And like to say, oh, well, Mina, this is how my parents would have treated this, so this is how I'm going to treat it. Like right now with 4IR, I'm artificial intelligence, and we cannot treat our kids the same way that our parents
treated us. Yeah, Mukhari,
yes,
thank you. Yeah, thank you very much for your contribution, Mukhari. Thank you. So we continue with the calls. Let's take Cleo now from Togonza. Cleo, thank you for joining us, and good evening.
Good evening, Sotu. Thank you so much for this wonderful show.
Thank you.
I think, you know, for me, my late mother was the real MVP. Because my mother and I, she never had the bed and the beef. She had the sex talk.
Mm-hmm.
We started having these conversations while I was still in primary school. I'm 35 years old now, a mother of two. And in primary school, it's even simple things are speaking about periods. When you grew up, we were told that when you're on your periods, it means that you're already having sex. But I knew that that is not the case.
That is not true, yeah.
Yes, because of the relationship that I had with my mom. We had the best relationship. When I say the best, I mean we spoke about everything and everything. And because of the relationship and the openness that my mother had, my mom called a spade a spade.
Mm.
She never tried to give it nice name. She just said it's sex. And to a point where, for me, I started dating when I was 17, right?
Yeah.
And I lost my virginity only when I was 19.
Mm.
Because of the relationship that I had with my mom, that she allowed me to come to her and say, listen, I like that guy, or that guy wanted to kiss me. And you know, when I lost my virginity, because I was, you know, when you lose your virginity, you go through the most.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell her face to face, but I still wrote her a letter and I put it in her wallet.
And told
so that
her.
She knows, yes, because we had that relationship with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a 9-year-old girl now. And because I've taken that from my mother, I'm able to speak to my daughter about sex. Yes, at this point, she's not ready for me to have the explicit talk that my mom and I had.
But it's a preparation, almost.
Exactly,
yeah.
Preparation. And there was an unfortunate event, if I can just quickly go into 2019, my mother passed away in 2019. It happened a month before she passed away. A child was raped at my cousin's wedding in my aunt's yard.
Mm.
And both my girls were there.
Mm.
And God also gave me an opportunity to sit my daughter down and say, she was sexually violated. It is not her fault. But these things, you know, unfortunately, someone has to, you know, so there's always that sacrificial lamb that has to get the perpetrator caught.
Mm.
God also gave me an opportunity to sit down with her and say, this is unfortunately what we go through as women. However, you know, these are the steps that we need to take to avoid such things. So I've opened that door for my daughter, who's 9 years old, to start. So I'd say to parents, even if your parents never gave you that opportunity, Now we've got,
you gotta
now
give
it's
your
in
kids.
Our hands.
Yeah.
You know, it's in our hands now as mothers to sit our children down and say, this is what it is, you know. This, you're a woman, this is what you go through, you're gonna have your periods. Starting from now, I've seen a lot of mothers are saying that children starting from 9 years old, they're already starting their periods.
Mm.
So you can't wait until for the periods, you need to start the conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
In order that when it happens, your child is not scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know it's going to happen because we are women. These are the things that we go through. And obviously, I'm emphasizing on the daughter side because I'm a mother to two girls.
Because we've got girls, exactly. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we're excluding boys. Yeah,
exactly. And also my thing is that as mothers to our sons, we need to stop this thing of allowing boys to get away with things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of your guests was talking about how boys are not told that when you impregnate one person, you will impregnate 10 other people.
Mm.
They are not educated about such things.
Mm.
So it's important for the mother and the father, because unfortunately, there's a lot of us single mothers. We need fathers, we need our uncles, we need our grandfathers to come to the party and help us. You know about it,
a village, yeah. Mm.
You understand? We need the village back because we've lost it so much. And it's really painful because the village, now everybody's minding their own business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've got high walls now. But thank you so much, Clea. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So we're just gonna, you know, say our goodbyes. But before we go, we have our parting shots. Queen, I'm gonna start with you. Earlier on, we had Mobalawa, and you know, just some word of advice. I mean, she's now got a teenager who's saying that I am ready to be sexually active. What should she say to him? What's the best way to equip him?
So all I can say is that we normally say to young people, if you don't know what you're doing, if you're not ready, wait until you know. Wait until you're ready physically, emotionally and otherwise. But if you're ready, have one partner and use a protection.
Mm-hmm.
So if she has goals and dreams, she needs to take care of her body so that her body can take her through the journey of life. To parents, if you ain't talking to your child about sex, who is?
Mm-hmm.
And please, parents, the people who didn't have a chance to call, they can just take this number and send a please call me. The Love Life social support, they'll call them back. 083, they send a please call me, they don't call. 083 323 1023.
Can you repeat that?
083 323 1023. It works with all the service providers. They just send a please call me.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us, Queen. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Leanne, as well, if we can just have some parting shots for you, your final words before we say goodbye. Unfortunately, the show has literally just run away with us, when it comes to time.
I just want to say thank you to Love Life for doing such an amazing job with our teenagers. I think Queen and them are doing an amazing job. And, you know, with the mom that has got a boy that is willing to talk to her, I think, mom, you've done an amazing job. And I think in this case, mom, are you the one that's ready? Because I think sometimes it's the parents that aren't
ready to hear
that. And, you know, just parents talk to your kids. And, you know, you didn't get the chance, but, yeah, you can change history. You can be the parent that sits down and actually gives information, because you don't have to grow up, you don't have to let your kids grow up exactly the way you did.
Mm-hmm.
Make the change.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lee. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. And thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks. Good night. And that's it. We've come to the end of the show. We'll be back on Monday, same time, same place, right here on Kaya 959. From Miso Tumea, it is good night.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.